Perek Hey Mishnah Tezayin. We now begin a series of four Mishnayos that begin with the word kol. Until now we've had the numbers 10, the numbers 7, the numbers 4, and now we begin with kol, rules that are not based on particular numbers. And the Mishnah that we're going to learn now discusses what is considered true ava, true love, and what is not considered true love. Says the Mishnah, Kol ava shehi tluya bedover, any love that is dependent on external affairs, batel dover, if that external matter is no longer, batla ava, then the love is not here as well. V'she'ena t'luya b'davar. However, a love that is not dependent on any other matter, eina b'teila l'yolam, that love will be permanent and everlasting. Ezu hi ava hatluya b'davar. The Mishnah now gives an example of love that was dependent on something. Zu avas amnon v'somer. This was the love, the illicit love that Amnon had for his half-sister Tamar, that we find in the Navi, in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud Gimel. V'she'ena t'luya b'davar, and a love that was not dependent on any specific cause, zu avas David v'yoynesen, this is the love of David and Yoynesen. To elaborate on this mission, I think it is best to say it in the words of Rabbi Wein in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, for he states it very well. Says Rabbi Wein, the Mishnah speaks of two different forms of love. The first is a love that is purely dependent on physical attraction, economic advantage, or some other self-interest. The feeling seems to be directed at a person, but what the lover truly craves is pleasure, wealth, or position. The object of the love is really being exploited for the money, power, etc., that the beloved one allegedly represents. The classic example of such bogus love is Amnon's infatuation with Tamar. It was based purely on lust, as we find there in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud Gimel. When the passion wanes, as it must in life, then the love that had been so obsessive and urgent suddenly disappears. True love is really a spiritual state of being. If it is reduced to purely physical, monetary, or other mundane considerations, no matter how attractive they may seem to be, then it loses its spirituality. It is no longer love, but something else entirely. And considering that love in the case of Amnon and Tamar, we find that after Amnon no longer had this lust for Tamar, the pasuk says in its place, Vayisna eha Amnon sina gedoyla miyoid. Instead of loving her, he hated her with a tremendous hatred. That is what Ava Hatluya Bedover eventually leads to. Continues Rabbi Wein, true love is not dependent on external circumstances and changing times. It is not infatuation, nor is it simply physical desire. It is a commitment, a broadening of one's own perspective and soul to include another human being, an emotion that when present stands the test of time. As Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, Perek Ches, Pasuk Zayin, great waters cannot extinguish the flame of love. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chabos eso avo. True love speaks of loyalty and concern, character development, and spiritual growth. End of quote of Rabbi Wein's book. And concerning the love that is not dependent on any specific cause, the love of David and Yoynesen, we find in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph, the Nefesh Yoinesen Nikshura ben Nefesh David, the soul of Yoinesen was tied up, was in a knot, tied together with the soul of David. Vayehaveho Yoinesen Kenafsha, and Yoinesen loved David like his own soul, like himself. And although one would have thought that there would have been a rivalry because Yoinesen was the son of Shaul, and Shaul saw David as a threat to his malchus, to his kingdom, one would have thought that that would transfer over to his own son. But since their love between David and Yoinesen was not based on any external factors, it was a true inner spiritual love, not dependent on outside external factors, it survived all the possible provocations that could have destroyed the love, and they remained in a bond together. And so it is with every ava she'ena tluya bedavar. It's ena betela l'olam, as the Tana of our Mishnah states. Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Zayin. We continue with the series of Mishnahs to begin with the word kol. And just as in the last Mishnah, we were discussing different types of ava, in this Mishnah, we're going to be discussing different types of machlokas, of arguments. Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shemayim. Every machlokas that is for the sake of heaven, sofa l'skayim. It will prevail. It will have a beneficial aspect to it. Many items that were not clear will become clear through the discussions, when the discussions are for the sake of truth and integrity. V'she'ena l'shem shemayim, but if the machlokas is not for the sake of heaven, if the machlokas is for the pursuit of honor and glory, or winning over one's friend, ein soifel eskayim, such machlokas will not have a positive outcome. And the Mishnah gives an example of a positive machlokas and of a machlokas that is not positive. Ezu hi machlokas shehi l'shem shemayim. What is an example of a machlokas which was for the sake of heaven? Zu machlokas Hillel v'Shammai. This was the arguments that took place between Hillel and Shammai. Throughout Shas, we have a machlokas between Hillel and Shammai, between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the yeshivas of Hillel and the yeshiva of Shammai. But it was never personal. It was always for the sake of truth. And therefore, it has a kiyum. We have that machlokas recorded for posterity in Mishnayis, in Shas, and it enlightens those who seek the truth, those who study Torah. We can find an example of the fact that it was never a personal disagreement between Hillel and Shammai from the end of a Mishnah in Yevamos in the first Perek, Mishnah Dalet, where the Mishnah states, Afal pi she'elu oisrin ve'elu matirin, elu poislin ve'elu machshirin, even though in the various forbidden relationships, various arayas that the Mishnah there, the Mishnayis there in the first Perek in Yevamos discuss, where one side would say, you are now involved in a forbidden relationship, it's arayas to you. And the other one would say, no, it's permitted. This did not prevent Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel from making shiduchim between each other. They would intermarry. They would let each other know the yichus of the prospective bride or groom, that it was in keeping with the opinion of the other side. They would let them know that. However, they because of their disputes in halacha, it never became personal that they would say, oh, we'll never be mishadech with the other side. All they did was they notified them, this shidduch is in keeping with your halacha stand. And so too the Mishnah says, kol hataharos v'hatumos, shehayu elu matarin ve'elu matamin. There was machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the halachas of tumah and tahara, that which renders something ritually pure or ritually impure. And even though they had these disagreements, like nimnu oisin taharis elu al gabe elu, this would not prevent one side from lending or borrowing vessels from the other side after they notified them that these kalim, these dishes, these vessels are in keeping with your halachic stand of tum and tahara. But again, it was not a personal disagreement leading to machlokas, to sinna. No, it was all for the sake of truth. And after notification that the shidduchim were in keeping with the halacha of the other side, the vessels were in keeping with the dinim of tumah v'tahara of the other side. Shidduchim were made between both. Vessels were lent and borrowed from one side to the other. And on this, the Gemara in Bavli, Yevamos Yud Dalet Amud Beis, states, based on the pasuk in Zechariah, Periches, pasuk Tes, Ha'emes v'ha'shalom ahavu, that truth and peace was loved. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel loved the truth, but they loved at the same time peace. And because of their various disagreements, it did not disturb their peace, their love, one for the other, because they were seeking the truth. But now the Mishnah concludes with an example of a she'ena l'shem shemayim. What is an example of a machlokas that was not for the sake of heaven? This we find in Chumash, zu machlokas korach v'chol hadasai. This was the rebellion of Korach, the rich Korach, who was seeking honor, who desired to be the head priest, the Kohen Gadol. So Korach and his whole band of 250 from Shevet Reuven who joined him, this is an example of a machlokas which is not for the sake of heaven. The question that all the Mephorshim ask is, why doesn't it say zu machlokas Moshe v'Korach? The fight was between, just like in machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, we discuss Hillel and Shammai. In the machlokas, when it's lo l'shem shamayim, we should have said Moshe and Korach. To this, the Tosfos Yontev, in the name of the Medrash Shmuel, answers that Moshe was 100% l'shem shamayim. If we're discussing a machlokas which is not l'shem shamayim, we are only referring to that side of the machlokas which was not l'shem shamayim. The side of the machlokas that was not l'shem shamayim was that of Korach v'chol hadasai. In fact, Rabbi Wein brings down that his father told him a pshat from his father's Rebbe, Hagoyin Rav Shimon Shkop Zitzal, that the pasuk says in Bamidbor concerning the machlokas between Korach and Moshe, that there would never again be such a dispute in Klal Yisrael as the dispute of Korach against Moshe. And the question is an obvious one. We've seen many, many disputes after Korach and Moshe. What does the pasuk mean? There wouldn't be such a dispute. And the answer, said Reb Shimon, is that it was only the machlokas between Moshe and Korach where Moshe's side with Aaron together was 100% correct and innocent, and the other side, that of Korach, was 100% wrong and unjustified. And that's the dispute that has no positive outcome. In fact, the pasuk in Bamidbor, Perek Tazayin, Psukim Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel states, Vatiftach ha'oretz espiyo, vativla oisom, vesbateyem, veskola adam asher l'korach, vayerdu heim v'chol asher lehem chayim sho'ilo, vatachas aleim ha'oretz v'yoivdu mitoich ha'kol. In the case of Korach v'Hadasai, they were totally wiped out. Hashem made a new creation of the earth, swallowing them up because they were involved in a machlokas, which was not for the sake of heaven. Such a machlokas cannot have a positive outcome. But Rav Shimon Shkop is explaining that it was only their machlokas where there was 100% positive for Moshe and 100% illegitimate machlokas on the part of Korach v'Adosai. That would never happen again. Any machlokas that we have in Klal Yisrael, it's never 100% positive for one side, it's never 100% negative for the other side, and therefore there is good on both sides. And therefore the litigants, those who are having the dispute on both sides should try to zero in on the positive that the other side is bringing to their attention. And in that sense, every machloka since Korach against Moshe could have a positive outcome because there are aspects of truth on both sides. It's never black and white as it was in the case of Moshe and Korach. Moshe 100% justified and Korach 100% not justified. This is how Reb Shimon explains the uniqueness of the machlokas Korach v'Adosai that would never happen again. So the Tosfos Yontif's pshat is why it says Zu machlokas Korach v'Adosai and not Moshe v'Korach, because it was only Korach's side that was Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, as we explained from Reb Shimon Shkop, 100% Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. There is a famous answer, another answer to this question, that's given by the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech of Lizensk, in his Sefer Noyim Elimelech. He brings it down from the Sefer Matnas Ovois. And he says, how can one determine if the other side means it L'Shem Shemayim? The other side is arguing and questioning the leadership. How do we know that their position is L'Shem Shemayim? That's what they claim. But how do we know if it is or it isn't? And there's a very simple test, said the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech. Look if there is achdus and peace amongst themselves. If it's truly L'Shem Shemayim, then that side will have complete unity amongst themselves. If we find that that side has disagreements amongst themselves, then it's a proof that it's not L'Shem Shemayim. In the case of Korach, the 250 members that came from Shevet Reuven, each one of them wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. They were united in their purpose that they wanted to take the Kohen Gadol away from Aaron. But amongst themselves, there was no unity. They had inner fighting amongst themselves because each one wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. So, She'ein L'Shem Shemayim, says the Mishnah, how can I tell it's not L'Shem Shemayim? Zu machlokes Korach v'chol Adosai, that Korach had a fight with his whole Eda. It wasn't just a fight against Moshe, but there was an inner fight, and that proves there was no achdus, that proves that it was Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. That's why we're not mentioning the side of Moshe, because we're focusing in on that side which we could prove is Loi L'Shem Shemayim, because there was a fight, Zu machlokes Korach v'chol Adosai, that they had squabbling amongst themselves, proving that their side was not L'Shem Shemayim.